الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected Ulama Ikram, brothers and elders. This is a standard thing that according to the occasion, at that level is the preparation. For some small little occasion, small dawat, maybe somebody invited 2-3 friends. So the preparation is accordingly. It might start off the morning of that invitation. And if he's invited his entire extended family also, then that preparation may start off maybe a week in advance, even more. Somebody is headed for a few days to another province. He's going to Johannesburg. So he might prepare one day in advance. But if somebody is going for Hajj, then the person who has been already accredited for Hajj, some levels of preparation started now, before Ramadan already. According to the occasion, the preparation. So the month of Ramadan is already at our doorstep almost. And this is a month where the pious predecessors, the Sahaba-e-Kiram in fact, their preparation, it is mentioned that 6 months in advance they would be preparing for it. By making dua to Allah Ta'ala, by begging Allah Ta'ala's help, that they must be able to derive the maximum benefit from the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And they would then prepare accordingly in terms of their amal, increasing their amal, etc. So according to the value that they had for the Mubarak month of Ramadan, what they understood is greatness, so similarly was their preparation for it. So therefore we too have to prepare for this Mubarak month. Very few days are left, but whatever is left, that too is an opportunity for us to make some preparation at least. So the preparation would be obviously, the starting point is sincere tawbah, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness from everything that we have done in violation of the commands of Allah Ta'ala. We want to derive the maximum benefit from the Mubarak month of Ramadan. We have to remove the barriers and obstacles that come in the way of taking that benefit. And the biggest obstacle to that is sin. And unfortunately, because of not having prepared with tawbah in advance, and that doesn't even sometimes cross our minds that this is one of the most important and fundamental preparations for Ramadan. Sincere tawbah, which entails giving up the wrong, feeling genuine remorse and regret in the heart for whatever mishaps took place, whatever wrong has happened, and a firm resolve not to commit that in future. These are the primary conditions of the acceptance of tawbah. And if it pertains to the rights of people, then to sort that out as well. So because this has even crossed the mind, that this is the starting point of the preparation for Ramadan, so that never happens, and into Ramadan those sins don't stop. Though the person, mashallah, started fasting, he started making tilawat of the Quran Sharif also if it wasn't happening before, and he started doing many other good works, alhamdulillah. But because this didn't even cross his mind, he's still committing the sins also. Whatever haram he was looking at, he's still looking at it. Whatever ghibat he was making, he's still making. And so many other wrongs and vices continue, as a result of which, by the time the month of Ramadan has passed, the person is still as empty as ever in terms of the noor, and in terms of the blessings that Ramadan showered upon him, it's all drained out. Before Ramadan left, he already drained it out. So in any case, that is the fundamental preparation for Ramadan. Sincere tawbah, coming back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then together with that, whatever we hope to do more in Ramadan, to become accustomed to it from now, to build a habit from now. We want to inshallah be making a lot of tilawat in the month of Ramadan, because that is the month of the Quran Sharif. But if you don't start now, it's going to be very difficult later to build up any momentum and to maintain anything that is going to be significant. Few days, some josh, after that is all sort of water and over, because there's no capacity that has been built up to exert oneself in these amal. Then likewise, tasbihat, zikr, time dedicated for dua. The month of Ramadan is such an important month of dua. And just to highlight that importance, Allah Ta'ala has appointed the angels who are fulfilling a very special task. These are the angels that hold aloft the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, they are ordered to also say Ameen to the du'as of the fasting person. Subhanallah, what a great thing that these very special malaika, they are being ordered that you must make Ameen, say Ameen to the du'as of the fasting person. But the time of the day while the fast is on also, hardly any time gets dedicated to dua. And the most crucial time, the last 10-15 minutes before iftar, that time too gets whiled away in some talking or getting too busy with preparing our iftar and so on. That time gets lost as well. So in any case, all this highlights how great this Mubarak month is. We should start doing all this from now, dedicating time for dua, tasbihat, zikr, nawafil. All this will inshallah build up, and the month of Ramadan will come, inshallah we'll be able to increase it. As mentioned, the preparation for Ramadan should start off long in advance. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also gave us the message in the dua that he made from the beginning of Rajab. That Allah Ta'ala grant us barakat in the months of Rajab and Shaban and enable us to eat Ramadan. So that was a lesson to prepare for Ramadan. But then one further preparation time we get. And that is Allah Ta'ala's special grace and mercy, that Allah Ta'ala has afforded us an opportunity that comes just on the doorstep of Ramadan, the 15th night of Sha'ban. We are just a few days away. Allah Ta'ala's hikmat, Allah alone knows. And we are not, it's not our place to be delving into the wisdom of the various commands of Allah Ta'ala and what Allah Ta'ala has decreed. But this virtue that Allah Ta'ala has placed in the 15th night of Sha'ban, that countless people are forgiven and Allah Ta'ala's special mercies descend, Allah Ta'ala himself calls out from the beginning of the night, is there anybody seeking forgiveness, I'll forgive him. Anybody seeking rizq and sustenance, I will grant it to him. Anybody seeking a solution to a problem, I will give it to him. And various needs of insan, Allah Ta'ala calls out himself. So such a great and auspicious night. So this virtue comes just in a night that is just 2 weeks prior to Ramadan. Ramadan is such a great month in itself. Now if it was our thinking, you would say, okay, after Ramadan, then there's a small gap, there's Hajj, Zulhijjah is itself a very auspicious month. And after Zulhijjah, okay, there's Muharram. So well, Muharram and then is Ramadan, somewhere in between should be this 15th night. Well, the virtue of the 15th night of Sha'ban should be somewhere in between. So now we'll space it out. That's our thinking. But Allah's hikmat, we can, what can we fathom of it? But one of the things that appears to be that Allah Ta'ala is giving us a chance to take a wake-up call. That look, if you haven't prepared up to now, then come to your senses. It's going to get too late now. So now such a great occasion comes that this banda will inshallah stop to take stock of himself now. That well, such a great occasion, I should come to senses. What am I doing? Where am I heading to? What have I done in my life? Where am I? The month of Ramadan is my doorstep. Am I ready for it? So this 15th night of Sha'ban, the highlight of it is the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So it's bringing us to the first preparation of Ramadan Tawbah, that we want to receive Allah's forgiveness and we want to gain the great blessings of Ramadan, which starts off with making Tawbah. So when such an occasion comes, such an auspicious night comes, if a person has some level of Iman, some spark of Iman in his heart, he'll stop to think, I can't let this occasion just pass and don't even make any Amal, don't make Tawbah, don't turn to Allah. So mashallah, he will turn, he'll make some effort, he'll make some Tawbah, he'll repent. So now already this is a very great preparation for Ramadan. And now Ramadan is just 2 weeks away, inshallah, he'll stay steadfast on the Tawbah, then he will consolidate it further in Ramadan. So this is a preparation time. So one is, it gives us a chance to reflect, to come back to Allah Ta'ala, and to make Tawbah. But then while on the one side, this is an occasion where Allah Ta'ala's special mercies descend, His great maghfirat and blessings and forgiveness comes on countless people, but yet certain people are excluded, mentioned in the hadith. Now we hear about these details every year, and sometimes we hear about it on the night of the 15th of Shaban, there'll be some program in the masjid, so we hear about it, by the time we're digesting it, the night is gone. And then we say, well, okay, now next year I'll try and keep this in mind for next year. So by the time next year comes again, the same cycle, we forgot about everything. If we paid attention perhaps in a Jummah or so before, and if the topic was that, then we might be picking up something. Otherwise in that Jummah talk, if we took our 40 wings, then we missed out that as well. So the thing is that this is now, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity to discuss this, not just for the sake of just discussing an old lesson, and well, we have to now just do something, and hear something, and say something. No, with the intention of amal. With the intention that we make amal on what is mentioned, what guidance has been given to us in the Quran and Sunnah. That is the bottom line. Merely speaking for the sake of speaking, or listening for the sake of listening, that's not going to benefit anybody. Yes, inshallah, in a good gathering, we'll get the benefit of being in the gathering of the angels, of the malaika, in the house of Allah Ta'ala. But the benefit that should bring some change in our lives, that will come when there is that niyat for change. There is that deep talab, there is that yearning and that seeking for it, that I want to become Allah's. I don't just want to go through the motions. I've been spent enough of my life just going through the motions, just coming and going, just feeling content. I perform my salah so I can do whatever I want after salah as well. So while out of the masjid, I'm already contemplating what haram I'm going to commit, but I perform my salah, so it's okay. That is not going to avail us on the day of Qiyamah to want to get direct entry into Jannah. We don't want to just go through the motions. No, nothing can, we can't do anything in dunya and sustain it just going through the motions. Which marriage can last if the couple just go through the motions of life? There's no attachment, there's no bond, there's no affection between the couple. They don't have any consideration for each other. They have no time to be concerned about each other's. But that's between two insan. Whereas neither created the other, neither sustains the other, neither nourishes the other. Nobody is keeping each other alive. It's all Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. So with insan who haven't done all this for us, but we can't sustain that relationship if there's no bond, there's no love in that bond, there's no togetherness, and just going through the motions of life, that'll fall apart. So likewise, we should reflect in our relationship with Allah Ta'ala, our Rabb who created us. Every breath we take is His grace. Every morsel we chew, hundreds, maybe thousands of people's efforts have combined into that one morsel. Then it came into our hand, then it went into our mouth, and then we chewed it. That chewing also, so many things happened in that mouth itself, that saliva which Allah Ta'ala made it possible for it to now be produced. And all the things that went, that entire functions that came into being to help to chew that one morsel of food. And then to help swallow it. And then when it went down into the stomach, what happened there and how many systems came into play and what went into the digestive process and how the energy was extracted and how the different aspects were separated and how the harmful substances were then expelled and what systems Allah Ta'ala put in place that one kidney sometimes doesn't function optimally and the person has to go for dialysis. He needs to connect to a big huge machine and at such a major cost for 1 hour. Allah Ta'ala presented that in our within ourselves, which is working 24/7 at no charge. But we go through the motions of life when it comes to our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And still feel we did Allah Ta'ala a favor that we came in the masjid and performed our haphazard rakats. So now this becomes an opportunity for us to come back to reality. That now enough of life going through the motions, I need to have this very deep love for my Rabb. I need to gain the ma'rifat and recognition of Allah Ta'ala. And therefore anything that comes in its way, I can't afford it. I can't afford having to do with anything that will disrupt this relationship with Allah Ta'ala or anything that will prevent me even getting there. So now such an occasion comes like the 15th night of Shaban and such great virtues, such great blessings. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat showers down. But then in the ahadith there are certain categories of people mentioned who are deprived of the mercies of this night. Deprived of the forgiveness of this night. One person, he was very hurt and broken about something. So now he had distanced himself from somebody. So what happened? So immediate family person, what happened? Why? What's the problem? So he says, well, this person came and everybody was in this room, whole lot of people. So he came and he greeted everybody. I was standing there too. And then he stopped. I was the last person, but he stopped at the person before me. I thought maybe he just didn't notice me or something. And after a while, after some discussion and so on, he had some whatever in his pocket, some sweets or something like that. He started dishing out to everybody. He left me out and then he went away. And then besides that, anything else? He says, no, this was, what an insult. And what? Obviously that was wrong. We have been taught in deen, salam to every person, younger, older, obviously, males making salam to males, not salam to non-mahrams, and females to the females. But in any case now, salam is taught to us, ignoring somebody in this way is wrong. But the point is that he didn't hit him, he didn't hurt him in some other way, this was wrong. But this became such a serious matter for the person concerned. He said, I don't have nothing to do with him anymore. Why? Because he treated me in this way. So now somebody didn't greet him. Somebody didn't just share one sweet with him. He probably had a more expensive item of some more luxurious item before that and after that as well. But it was the gesture. So now he doesn't have anything to do with him. So for small things like this, you want to have nothing to do with anybody, what will happen if there's a serious matter? What happens if somebody slapped him? What happens if it's even worse than that? For little things, we show our displeasure. So now that is the lesson. That when we are upset about something, then we express our displeasure in some way or the other. And we say, look, you don't come, I can't invite you, I don't have anything with you. Not the right thing to do, but that's how we do it. In that context to understand this, that's just for the sake of an example, that context, that incident, is to take this lesson and to understand that what's the gravity of what is being mentioned. That on such an occasion, where Allah Ta'ala is showering down His rahmat, and on such an occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, certain people are nevertheless deprived. Again, without any resemblance, Allah is beyond any resemblance. One is a father dished out some gifts to his children, left one out on just any other time. That too will become a very serious matter. But imagine the day of Eid. And now he calls everybody for Eid. And he's dishing out some valuable gifts to everyone. Tells one child, sorry, I got nothing to do with you. That will be like Qiyamah, if the child has got some sense of what the parent is. So now that's the context in which to understand this. that on such a night, such torrents of rahmat, and some people are deprived. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details, but just to touch on a few things, and for us to then acquaint ourselves in this little time we have still left, and make amends, sort things out. This is a clean-up time. Clean-up for the month of Ramadan. Just on a general note, if you look at all the categories that have been mentioned, of those who get deprived of the mercies of this night, it boils down to relationships. Either the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, for example, in the Hadith Sharif it's mentioned, إِلَّا لِمُشْرِكٍ. A mushrik is deprived. Doesn't have iman, he's committing the worst crime of shirk, so he's totally out. He's broken the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, so he's out. So one is the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not in order, then that is a big problem. And the rest of the categories that are mentioned, generally this boils down to the relationships with people. People whose relationships we have been ordained to uphold. So either the relationship with Allah Ta'ala is not in order, then that is, person is out, or the relationships with people are not in order. Like in the Hadith Sharif is mentioned, that illa li mushrikin aw mushahinin. Person who's harboring malice for others. Now that's a big barrier in the relationship. He's harboring malice, even though he's smiling, but that's a big barrier. He's not going to do good for somebody he has malice for. And he's going to find ways and means of how to drop somebody down, how to hurt someone in a very subtle way, in a crafty way, in a roundabout way, making it sound like I'm trying to help you, but I'm trying to drop you. All this will happen. And now just that malice itself is such a major problem, that that person wishing ill for the next person, wishing harm for him, that becomes a barrier from gaining the rahmat of such a great night, gaining the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Such a person's du'as are now are answered. Then in the hadith it's mentioned, aqun liwalidayhi. The one who is disobedient to his parents. Disobedient obviously in matters that are within the limits of Shariat. It cannot be outside the limits of Shariat. That is, disobedience to Allah Ta'ala can never be compromised. The obedience of Allah Ta'ala cannot be compromised for anyone. There's no obedience to the creation if it involves disobedience of the Creator. So now this is highlighted. Aqun liwalidayhi. Person who is disobedient to his parents. Subhanallah, the relationship that Allah Ta'ala has highlighted of parents and children in the Quran Sharif, that it is next to the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Keep the relationship with Allah Ta'ala correct. Worship Allah alone. Don't commit shirk. And keep the relationship with parents correct. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Immediately with the relationship of Allah Ta'ala, next in line is mentioned the relationship of parents. This word aq comes from aqqa ya uqqa in Arabic, which means to cut. Because that disobedience cuts their heart. Like a person gets some cut on his hand somewhere, it burns. The heart is the most sensitive organ. Can you imagine what that hurts? And now that is being mentioned here. That person who commits this disobedience that results in this, he's deprived. This hurt, this pain, we sometimes, and insan in general also, we take it as one of those things, if somebody got hurt, so what? We all insan, we all make mistakes also. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, we slip up somewhere, we do something, say something that hurts somebody, but we shouldn't just ignore it and carry on like nothing happened. Because this can become a very great barrier. What happens in the Akhirat is another matter, even in dunya. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, such a great personality, author of almost 1,000 books and some very voluminous works, one particular work, Bayanul Quran, a tafsir of the Quran Sharif, very, very academically acclaimed work. One day, his wife had to go to some family, maybe her own parents' home or whatever. So she said to him that, look, every morning at certain time, I open out the cage of the chicken and then put the grain for it. So in the morning now, tomorrow I'm not going to be here. Ensure that you open that cage out, let the chicken out, and then put the grain out for them. And then obviously they will feed themselves in the day, and then in the evening they'll be put back into the cage, in that pen, whatever. Now he was a person, had his whole day all mapped out. He had no time for any entertainment and wasting of time. Everything was very, very organized and planned, certain time for certain work, certain time for certain work. So his whole day was planned out in this way. Now that day, this additional task came. So he had said, fine, I'll do it. But because of this very systematic day that he used to have, and a time for everything and a place for everything, it just happened that he slipped up. It completely slipped his mind, because it was not something that, it was part of his daily routine. Now it was something that came out of the blue, and it slipped his mind. So in any case, that day, at the appointed time in the morning now, which was after this time of having to now open out those chicken and let them feed and put their grain for them, it was his time to sit down and write the tafsir, Bayanul Quran. So he came and sat down to start writing as normal, took the pen, took his papers, sat down, took to take off from where he left off last. Now he's sitting and thinking and thinking and referring to some other kitabs now to try and... But he's blank, completely nothing coming to mind of what he should pen down. So after some time passed, very unusual, this is never the case, normally his pen just flows. Said maybe just fatigue or whatever it might be. So okay, let's put this on pause for today. And some other work, the work of answering fatawa, let me just do that for now. So he brought out the fatawa, the questions that people had forwarded, and now sitting down to now answer the fatawa, which was also part of daily routine, daily work. And that too would just flow. Now he's sitting to write the fatawa, and he's stuck. There's nothing coming to mind. Simple questions that he has answered previously, but somehow he just can't seem to figure out how to get it going, what to write. Now it stopped, he stopped to think, something is out of place. Now these are the people of Allah Ta'ala, that this alarm bell rings. We, what carries on, and the alarm bells ring too, we don't hear it. So immediately something is out of place. So now what to do? He went onto the musalla, performed some two rakats, four rakats, whatever, Allah knows best how many rakats of salah he might have performed, and then profusely wept and begged Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, I have done something seriously wrong. So guide me to correct what wrong has happened. Guide me towards correcting the wrong that I have done. And he did this, and this came in his heart, that my makhluk is suffering in there. How you expect us to open this knowledge onto you to write? This was a voice in the heart, however it came, whatever it was, but something within him spoke out, so to say, that you kept these animals, these birds, locked up still after their normal time to come out and feed. So this is the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, and the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala is suffering due to you. So if the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala is suffering due to you, while you are engaged in this work, you are in the service of Allah's work. Is Allah Ta'ala's favor going to come in you, onto you in this time? He realized this and immediately rushed off. He sorted that out. He opened them, fed them, and then came back and sat down to start the work, and without any delay, again the pen was flowing as before. Now the lesson to understand and take from here is, one is even these animals, this is one incident that happened in his life. This is in the Hadith Sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has highlighted in so many instances, don't even cause taklif to animals. One hadith says, don't make the back of an animal a mimbar. Now mimbar, normally a person sits on the mimbar, the Imam Sahib will sit on the mimbar. Now when he has a lengthy discourse, he's giving a whole bayan, he'll sit on the mimbar. If he has a short announcement, he'll stand and give the announcement. So now there's a lengthy duration that he's going to be busy with something, so now he'll sit on the mimbar. Now that was the example used, that now you're passing somebody, for two riders now, would often happen now, two riders would pass, so now they know each other, they stopped to now greet each other. Now one is you greeted each other and carried on, but now they're sitting on the, each one is sitting on his animal, and now they're talking stories, and now they're catching up all the whole qaza of the last time they met. So now the 10 minutes they're sitting, for that 10 minutes they're enjoying the seat, but the animal is suffering unduly, because it's not being ridden now. And it's just being used as a seat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't do that also. That too is cruelty to that animal. Ittaqullah fi hadhihi al-baha'im al-mu'jama. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, beware, fear Allah Ta'ala with regards to these dumb creations. They can't talk, they can't speak for themselves, they can't complain to somebody, but Allah is hearing their complaint. So in any case, even if animals are hurt, are troubled, are disturbed, that doesn't go without its negative consequences. Then what about insan in general who are unduly hurt, unduly disturbed? Somebody who's unduly given some taklif. What about that? And then what if that insan is a Musliman? If that animal also that had these consequences, then insan will have more consequences. Any insan is ashraful makhluqat, the greatest of Allah Ta'ala's creation. But then Allah blessed that insan with iman, he's now a Musliman also. And if that Musliman is now somebody's relative, and if he's not just somebody's distant relative, it is his own, his blood relative, and if that is not just his blood relative, it's his own parent. Subhanallah, now where will this finish off? So now this is highlighted on this occasion. Aqun li walidayhi. Now what the point is, that where we started off, that one example, that if somebody is upset over someone, he wants to have nothing to do with him, then he will say, look, I'm upset with this person, I don't want to see him also. This is the extent to which Allah Ta'ala is saying, I'm displeased with some people, that on such a great occasion, my mercy is not coming to you. So any person who has some sense of iman, some consciousness, he will be jolted. Say, I can't afford this, to be deprived on such a great occasion. I need to make amends now. Later is too late. I need to make amends immediately. That is the whole objective. And that is perhaps Allah's hikmat, that this has come 2 weeks before Ramadan to jolt us. Jolt us to get into action. Make amends. Among the other categories mentioned, the one who severs family relationships. This too is a whole topic in itself. There's so much of detail in this. No time, we've already passed the time. And the person who's indulging in intoxicants, the person, males who allow their garments to flow below their ankles. These are all categories that have been mentioned in the hadith of people who become deprived of the mercies of such a great night. What the purpose is, that it meant to jolt us, to come to our senses, to humble ourselves, clean out the relationships, correct and amend the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and mend the relationship with the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. Our hearts clean. What do we lose in cleaning our hearts out? There's only to gain. And the simple prescription that the Quran Sharif has given us in all these kind of issues, the issues that come up in life, we are also sometimes faltering here and there, due to which now somebody else gets hurt, somebody else gets offended, and somebody else falters sometimes, we get offended, we get hurt. But the response that the Quran Sharif has taught us, idfa billati hiya ahsan, that you reply and you respond with that which is better. One is a tit for tat response, and the other response is worse. That is, this is not wrong in itself. If we just, exactly what was done, the person took that much of revenge, he's allowed that. But that's a tit for tat response. And a very terrible situation is somebody threw one pebble, you threw a whole rock at him, meaning exceeded the bounds. But what we have been taught here is the flowers for thorns response. If somebody is throwing thorns, you throw flowers back. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Now this takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot from within a person. But now, whatever was said to me and how I was treated and what happened and what didn't happen, now all these thorns were thrown at me and I must throw flowers back. Allah Ta'ala is saying, idfa billati hiya ahsan. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you want the peace, you want the happiness, you want to enjoy that love and mahabba. Because if that mahabba is not there, you too can't be in peace. It's not just a one-sided thing, that we cut somebody off, so only that person now will be in. We also feel uneasy. Is there something to address? Some rights to claim, by all means we are entitled to it, in a dignified way, within the limits, by all means, person wants to do that, he's entitled to it. But the relationships are a very important aspect indeed, highlighted in such an important occasion. And this response is the prescription the Quran Sharif is giving, that do it and see. Allah Ta'ala is saying to us, that have trust in me. So Allah is saying, idfa billati hiya ahsan. This will be the result. That do it for Allah alone, but. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The person between you and him, there's enmity, he'll become a bosom friend. The Quran Sharif is saying it. But again, further Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ الصَّبَرُوا. But you want to get there, you'll have to have sabr. None will be able to achieve it, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ الصَّبَرُوا. That person who has sabr, he'll have the heart to do it. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And those who have a very great fortune awaiting them, they'll have the sabr. So the person who has the sabr, he has a very great fortune coming up. A great fortune is not only driving a fortuner. No harm in that. If Allah Ta'ala has blessed somebody with it, Allah Ta'ala keep it with afiyat. But the great fortune is what's going to connect us to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who's got that very great fortune awaiting him, the one who at the time of mawt will hear that great glad tidings, the one who will see this great fortune in the qabr, on the day of Qiyamah, and in the great stages of Jannat, then that person, that sabr will come in him. Having that sabr is an indication I'm heading somewhere, inshallah. Not that a person can make any claim till the last breath on iman. And if something that sabr, just we can't seem to find it anywhere, then there's a problem, we need to find out where's the problem. Treat the problem and get ourselves sorted out, clean ourselves out, come back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In this way we will gain, our dunya will be made, our akhirat will be made as well. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us those hearts that become totally connected to Him, that are filled with His muhabbat, that are filled with that zeal and enthusiasm to do that which pleases Allah Ta'ala, to mend our relationship with Him and mend our relationship with His creation as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Make zikr for a few minutes in dua.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim naiman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا إله العالمين يا الله O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله Forgive us يا الله Forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله يا الله Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله Make us your true and obedient servants يا الله Make us your loyal servants يا الله يا الله Fill our hearts with your mahabba يا الله يا الله Save us from يا الله يا الله Just living life through the motions يا الله With an empty heart يا الله يا الله What a kind of existence this is يا الله يا الله That we passing this life يا الله Eating all your ni'mats ya Allah enjoying all your bounties ya Allah ya Allah using all the faculties you blessed us with ya Allah ya Allah and our hearts are ya Allah empty of your mahabbat ya Allah ilahul alameen this is itself such a great crime ya Allah forgive us ya Allah we put all the love of everything else in our hearts ya Allah as a result we have become deprived of your love ya Allah Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your mahabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the love of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, Ya Allah. With the love of the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. Accept us and our progeny till qiyamah for the efforts of deen, Ya Allah. With ikhlas and afiyat and qabooliyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, these Mubarak days and nights are in front of us, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, do not, Ya Allah, deprive us of the blessings of these nights, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, don't deprive us due to our sins, Ya Allah. Bless us with the tawfiq of sincere tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq of tawbatan nasuh, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, tonight in your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, with your tawfiq, Ya Allah. We've raised our hands to you, O Lord, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. We're making tawbah tonight, Ya Allah. We're begging for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. On our behalf, Ya Allah. On behalf of our families, Ya Allah. On behalf of our friends and relatives, Ya Allah. On behalf of the ummah of Nabi Kareem, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, shower down your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower down your maghfirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our blatant disobedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our total disregard for deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how we trample your commands, Ya Allah. How we trample the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without any care, Ya Allah, without any shame, Ya Allah. Allah forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, today we are repenting, Ya Allah. Allah will not go back to that haram, Ya Allah. Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, all the sins that we have committed, Ya Allah. All the wrongs that we have done, Ya Allah. All your commands that we have violated, Ya Allah. Allah, we're making tawbah from it, Ya Allah. Allah, you give us the tawfiq to stay, Ya Allah, steadfast on deen, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out of all the evils, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant us your forgiveness, especially on these Mubarak occasions, Ya Allah. Enable us to see the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Enable us to achieve the object of Ramadan, which is taqwa, Ya Allah. Allah, enable us to achieve your mahabbah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, save us from those who get disgraced, Ya Allah, and those who get deprived of the blessings of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are in any suffering, hardship, pain, difficulty, Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Allah, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, atila, mustamirra, da'ima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Allah, those in any financial difficulties, remove with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib risk filled with barakat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, remove all the anxiety, the depression, the worry, the sorrow, the grief, Ya Allah. Fill the hearts with sukoon and itminan, Ya Allah. Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah. Allah, wherever the Muslims are being oppressed, Ya Allah. Remove the oppression from them, Ya Allah. Hold back the hands of the oppressors, Ya Allah. Allah, give them hidayat as well, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in particular, brothers and sisters in Palestine, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you shower your rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower your blessings on them, Ya Allah. You protect them, Ya Allah. You safeguard them, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant them open victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant them complete victory over their enemies, Ya Allah. You strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم شتت شملهم اللهم مزق جمعهم اللهم دمر ديارهم اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب